Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
What a powerful prayer tonight. Welcome. You are listening to Living in the Yes with the Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. And it is my honor every Tuesday night to welcome you into this sacred space and deep conversations. You can find more of that prayerful song, Holy, Holy Way, sung by the Agape Choir, led by Ricky Byers Beckwith at agapelive.com. Now, Rev D brings spiritual tools you can use to upgrade your understanding about spiritual qualities and how you can connect with the energy to apply what she's going to teach you and demonstrate to you as a daily practice in your life. Tonight, she is focusing on fulfillment. To join a conversation, or if you have a question on your heart, call in 347-426-3346. And don't forget to press 1 on your keypad. And now, family, without further ado, please welcome Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. Welcome, Rev D. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. Thank you. I want to welcome everybody to the show. Where this night we're going to be talking about fulfillment. And I feel directed actually to share a bit of reading with you. There is a series that I have called Letters from the Infinite that are prophetic messages that come in the form of a letter, punctuation and everything. Transcriptions of these letters, I hear it verbally first. It's recorded, it's transcribed. The first volume in this series is called The Sacred Yes, and the second volume is called Your Deepest Intent. And I am being directed to actually read a couple of pages here from Your Deepest Intent. This is a letter. It's actually the first full letter beyond the introduction. This letter is called Keeping Your Dreams Alive. And I'm going to start actually in the middle of the letter to the end. And I haven't actually reread this letter in a long time, so I'm dropping into it right now, just being obedient to spirit. But usually when I do, that voice comes back to me, and I can say it in somewhat of the same way in which it came to me, so that you can get some of that feeling of the intonation. Now, mind you, just because it came to me doesn't mean that it's specifically for me. It's for all of us. I'm very linguistically minded, so that's how spirit connects with me a lot, through language, also visual imagery. Some of you may feel it more kinesthetically in your body, maybe through gardening, maybe through dance, maybe through music, maybe through art. However that way is that you connect, you know, be genuine with that, with yourself. So it's been talking in this letter about the differences between desires and fantasies. It's been talking about intent. This letter, once again, is keeping your dreams alive. And here it's really getting into that notion of fulfillment and where our intent within it all. It says, when the intent to manifest moves a dream forward from being merely a desire or fantasy, the new opportunities for fulfillment become available. When one is merely pushing, that is to say, using one's own resources, or, as my dear Reverend daughter Deborah captured in the lyrics for her song Living Grace, when, quote, I'm trying desperately to quench my own thirst, end of quote. The manifestation of this dream can only go so far. On the human level, a finite amount is available to you. However, I am an inexhaustible supply. When your dreams come into alignment with my will, then so-called miracles will happen. This is why some people's dreams appear to come true, while the dreams of others do not. Many extenuating and external circumstances surround each and every person when it comes to the fulfillment of his or her dreams. When one surrenders the ego's need to prove something to itself or to someone else, to be competitive, to live in contrast, in comparison, when such things are no longer the focal point of your attention and your energy field, then you are free, my children. You are free to pursue your dreams. As long as you perceive yourself to be at the mercy of the outer world, that is to say, at the mercy of facts, statistics, economic, social structures and constructs, government policies and the like, you will question whether or not your dreams can be fulfilled. When you are willing to declare yes, deep within your soul, regardless of what things may look like in the outer realm, then you are keeping your dream alive. What does it take to keep your dream alive? It takes perseverance. It takes a willingness to trust the processes of life, unwillingness to empower people, places, and things with the ultimate control over your destiny. It means that you must stake a bold claim on life that says, I'm here. I am here, and I deserve the life that has been ordained for me to live. This perseverance means that you will keep your eye on the prize. You will not allow yourself to be discouraged or dissuaded for extended periods of time. You will not allow the so-called facts to eclipse your faith. You will pierce through the appearances and the illusions and remember me. You will remember my divine order. You will call forth divine right activity in all of your affairs. Keeping your dream alive requires that you release attachments to exactly how you think this dream is to unfold, when, where, and by what means. I always have something special in mind, something that coincides with your needs. I, the Mother, Father, God, creator of all things, am all needs met. Understand what it is that I am saying here. Your dreams are not weights upon your shoulders. Your dreams are not albatrosses hanging around your neck. Your dreams are not too big for you. Your dreams are not there to be places of shame, guilt, or self-judgment. Your dreams are those places where the great I am of your soul is calling you. Your dreams are those places deep within where the I am of your being is declaring itself. I am that I am. Your dreams are calling you uniquely. There is some contribution you can make, some way that you can do or be a particular something, and unique to you. Your unique, authentic expression is what is demanded here, not someone else's interpretation of who you ought to be. Your dreams will always take you outside of yourself. Your dreams will always stretch you beyond what you have considered yourself capable of doing or being. Your dreams will always present a challenge to you to grow, expand, learn, and move beyond the places that have been your limitations in the past. Your dreams will require you to reevaluate your paradigms. Your dreams will need you to reevaluate what you consider possible and not possible. Your dreams will require that you rewrite the scripts of why they cannot be fulfilled. Your dreams always require that you not allow probability to influence your possibility consciousness. No, that's not true. Your dreams always require that you not allow probability to influence your sense of possibility. And says in parens, my dear Reverend Daughter, you thought I was going to say limit your sense of possibility. However, there are so many ways in which things are influenced that are not simply a matter of limitation. Your dreams are something that should carry you through life. As you grow, your dreams will grow. To keep your dreams alive does not mean that you have to cling tenaciously to the same dream throughout your entire life. Keeping your dreams alive is more in reference to keeping the flame burning for whatever is appropriate for you at any given point in time. Over time, your sense of what is possible will grow. There is a humility that comes with this. The more you know about a subject, the more you are aware of what you don't know about it. This is one of those spiritual paradoxes. A mathematician is aware of the complexities and the nuances of mathematics, more aware of how much is still ahead to discover about mathematics. The same is true for physicists, or an astronomer, or anyone in any other field. If your dream is simply about trying to master something, then you have missed the point. There's always another level. There's always another layer. There is always something else to be discovered or rediscovered. It's with a sense of awe and wonder that the real student of life becomes a good traveler in life. As the Tao Te Ching by Lao Tzu says, a good traveler has no fixed plan and is not intent upon arriving. If your dreams are a destination, if your dreams are a certain spot that can be met and mastered, then think a bigger dream. This is not to say that you should abandon where you are, but simply to point out that there is more available to you if you are bold enough to stake a claim on it. I don't want you restless. I don't want you constantly chasing after something just because it might appear bigger or better. That's not the point here. The point is that your dreams carry you into a greater state of livingness. You can live more right where you are with what you have. In fact, when it comes to living your dreams, you're not adding on more so much as you're letting go of the stuff you really don't need. once again from the Tao Te Ching, which the dear Reverend Daughter Deborah here loves so much. In the pursuit of knowledge, every day something is added. In the practice of the Tao, every day something is dropped. This is how it is with your life. Pursuit of your dream. Every day, something that does not serve you mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, or the like will be let go. It doesn't have to be forced out. The Velcro in your consciousness that allows those things to stay attached to you will simply cease to exist. There will be a shift in your energy field such that you will no longer be a magnet attracting to you what does not serve you. You will be free. Think on these things. You do not have to conjure up your own dreams. Align with me, and I will reveal the dreams of your soul even before your present incarnation. I love you. I love all of you. Keep living, dreaming, and living from a place of deep intent. Breathe a moment. And I'm going to ask my host to come back on and give everybody the call in line, too.
You are listening to the Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson, and you are invited into this deep conversation about fulfillment. The call in number is 347-426-3346. And don't forget to press 1 on your keypad. That's our way of knowing that you want to jump on in. You know, Rev B, when you were speaking, when you were reading those words, the channeled words, I had a thought about the American dream and fulfillment. Mm-hmm. And how we have this myth, right? That you get the house, you get the car, you get the 2.5 kids, and you will be fulfilled. For some of us, that American dream is really a hallucination. For other of us who have it, it feels like a nightmare. So the question on my heart for you right now is, what is fulfillment? How do you get to it when what you want doesn't even match what everybody tells you you should have?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you should mention the American dream. I've actually dedicated your deepest intent to the United States of America. because there are so many letters that are in here to us as a nation, and about our power and our might, and what do we go after, and what do we value. You know, I recommend that people question. And one of the biggest questions that you can have is just tell you about what your dreams are supposed to be, or what you're supposed to do with your life. If you just keep asking the question, why? Like, why that? Then the fallacy of it starts to become very clear. It's a way of, you know, in The Wizard of Oz, that moment when Dorothy pulls the curtain back and sees there's not a big wizard, well, there's just a little old man back there pulling some strings, and she moves from being ashamed of being afraid to shaming him. You know, how dare you, you know, go around scaring people and this kind of stuff. Well, if we'll just ask the question, why, what we'll find out is that we are trying to get to our deepest heart's spiritual desire through people, places, and things. The stuff that we're told that we are supposed to be, or the things that we're supposed to do, usually have something to do with not really trusting life or the universe. It has something to do somewhere with, if you don't do it this way, you're going to lose. Way, you're not going to be safe. If you don't do it this way, you won't find a mate. You're not going to be happy. It's usually a bunch of conformist things. I love the way Reverend Terry Cole Whitaker put it years ago. She said, if you stay on your job for the health insurance, you're going to need it. You're going to need it. Besides all of the high-risk factors like smoking and those kinds of things that exist for why it is that people have heart attacks, Deepak Chopra in Quantum Healing speaks of this, and he says that there's just this amazing statistic that no other species in the world can say anything like this. In the United States, more people die of heart attacks at a very specific time of day and time of the week. More people in the United States die of heart attacks at 8 a.m. on Monday morning. And what they have found is that one of the greatest indicators and predictors for heart disease and heart attack is the simple answer to the question, do you love your job? Do you love your job? The more dissatisfied and unfulfilled that you feel in life about how you're spending your time, about how you're making a living, the more unhappy that you are with that, the more high risk you are for something like heart attacks. Which is part of the reason why I think our foremothers and forefathers who were Africans of the diaspora learned how to take even the most mundane chores and work. Even the things that might have seemed, you know, tedious or grueling or, you know, unjust or unfair, and sang through it. Found some kind of way to turn it around, found some kind of way to still find some sort of meaning in life. So ultimately, fulfillment is really not about the things that society says you ought to be doing or not doing. Society could say you should be a slave. Society could say you should be the business executive. Society could say a lot of things, but fulfillment ultimately has to do with how connected do you feel with your creator? How connected do you feel with the source? Because when you feel that, the material stuff doesn't even matter. Just doesn't matter. When you're grateful for being alive.
Well, thank you for that answer, Rev B. We're going to take a quick break, and I have a question for you on the other side from the chat room. But this thing about fulfillment and the way you're breaking it down is really filling up my soul. So I'm just going to give you an early thank you. It's definitely a show I'll go back and listen to again. And I say that about all your shows anyway. Okay,
well,
and after the break, and then after the break, Life Coach Today has a comment too. So woo, woo, woo.
All right.
Yeah. So go get some water, and I'll let them know a little bit more about what you got brewing in the world, which is so such a beautiful thing. All right, so we'll see you in a couple of secs. Well, you are listening to Living in Yes with the Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. What a treat she is every Tuesday night. And besides showing up here and connecting with us on Life Conversations Radio Network, there are also some other places that you can connect with Rev D. So on this upcoming Wednesday, she has classes started October 1st. It goes until November 12th at Inner Light Ministries called Using Your Spiritual Toolkit. And another powerful thing about Rev D is you have the ability to work with her one-on-one, either virtually or in person. Yes, you can have your own sessions with Reverend Deborah L. Johnson, focused on wisdom, insight, clarity, intent, encouragement, support, guidance, direction, reflection, inspiration, igniting your passion. She's going to focus on any area that you're interested in, whether personal, professional, organizational, or societal growth and development. And here's another thing. You get a choice in what type of modality you want her to work with. So that could be coaching, counseling, mentoring, visioning, strategizing, facilitating, tutoring, prayer support, and activist guidance. You definitely want to tune into this. She also has an amazing program called We Circulate. And you can go to innerlightministries.com for more information about her classes, about working with her one-on-one, or finding out how you can circulate, We Circulate, with Inner Light Ministries. Yes, call-in number again is 347-426-3346. Don't forget to press 1 on your keypad. I'm going to invite Life Coach Today to come in and say hi as we welcome back Rev D for more amazing conversation about fulfillment. So welcome, Life Coach Today. Welcome back, Rev D.
Well, thank you. Hiya, Day.
Hey, Rev D, how are you doing?
Okay, we missed you last week.
Oh, my God. Well, let's just say that it was a perfect opportunity to let me know where I am in consciousness. And you may be happy or fulfilled to know that I didn't trip because we were traveling. And so the signal was pretty bad and the phone would disconnect. And I'm like, okay, dial back in. And I was still trying to communicate with Celeste through text. Some got through. But, oh, my God, it was very good because we were heading to New Orleans for memorial service, and it was a very challenging time, as you can imagine. But your message was just helping me feel like it's going to be okay. All is well already. And so, yeah, it's always nice to hear you. It's always nice to sit with you. As you're talking tonight, I keep thinking, what is it? Because my mind does crazy things. I'm like, what is it? What is it about Reverend D's message? It just cuts to the chase. It just goes to the heart. And it's the first I wrote down, you know, the message helps people to loosen their grip on what they're holding on to. And I'm like, yeah, that's it. And then as I was still pondering, sitting with it, because I say this almost every week, and so if you've heard me say it, it's okay. You just have a way of helping me just completely relax. And then as you went on to say, the message of the world is teaching us not to trust life or the universe. I said, that's it. You know, your message does more than give hope. Once again, you rewire people's neurons. Like, you are connected to God. Oh, this is undone. It's like it is spiritual surgery. And I can't say this enough, and maybe that's why I say it every week, even though when I get in my mind about it, my head about it, I'm like, okay, you said that already. But I can't thank you enough for who you're being in the world and how you speak truth to power and power to truth. You just, with your words, with the way you teach your consciousness, you just have a way of making us feel like, ah, I can relax. So this really is not a rat race. Oh, I can really trust life. I can trust God. Oh, there are areas in my life where I need to reconnect, where I need to check my connection with the Creator. And I'm so grateful for you on this network. You know, because you're part of the vision that I had. I wanted hosts, and that when they come is a place where people can rest their hearts and souls and know that they will be fed. And I'm fulfilled and forever fulfilled. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yes, thank you for those kind words. And yes, I do consider that to be, you know, my mission. And my purpose for being. I can't emphasize enough how we have to really rethink and redefine what we think it means to be fulfilled. One of the organizations near and dear to my heart that I'm on the board of directors of is an organization called the Pachamama Alliance. Pachamama is one of the words for Mother Earth. And we do a lot of work in the Amazon rainforest, working with indigenous peoples to make sure that they are empowered to preserve the rainforest, which is really, you know, like the lungs of the earth. There's a lot of social justice work and consciousness raising and whatnot, you know, around the world. But one of the things that inspired this organization back to get started back in 97 were conversations with the Achuar tribe, which one of the indigenous tribes there in the Amazon, who were never colonized. They were still living their ways of the old. And essentially, they were saying to the people who were there from the United States that they were encountering for the first time to go back to the north, you know, to the northern hemisphere, to the North America, to the Europeans, and, you know, all you highly industrialized societies, you know, go back and change your dream. Change your dream. So one of the symposiums that's come out of this organization is a symposium called Awakening the Dreamer, which is all volunteer run, and we're now in 70 different countries. It's just an extraordinary program, Awakening the Dreamer. And I bring this up to say that this American dream that we've had, dream of fulfillment being through the acquisition of possessions, has us raping the earth. That we are 5%, people who live in the United States are 5% of the world's population, and we consume 35% of its resources. If everybody on the planet were to consume the way that we consume, we would need 5 or 6 Earths in order to accommodate that. And we're in a pickle now because so many other countries just coming up in the industrialization, I won't call them like new countries and whatnot because they were far ahead of us in terms of technologies and mysticism and all the rest of these
right.
kinds of things, but in terms of the industrialized technology, that they're busy trying to emulate the United States. And we, I think, have a moral responsibility even to show a different example because it's not the way. Consuming more and more materialism is not the way to fulfillment. And I want to caution, I mean, everybody who's listening to this, that this desire that everybody has to be fulfilled is being economically exploited. It's being exploited. If you look at our commercials today, the commercials aren't selling you products. They're selling you fulfillment. They're selling you spiritual qualities. They're selling you contentment and peace and power and security, creativity, authenticity, freedom. Sometimes I don't even know what the real product is being sold.
Right.
You know, really.
It's
this feel-good stuff where they get you to associate their product with these qualities. And if you want to experience more of these qualities, you know, you want to feel stronger, you want to feel healthier, you want to feel more secure, more loved, more empowered, more integrated, more whole, more trusting, more fulfilled, you know, chew this gum. Clean your floors with this product and you'll be a good mom.
Right.
And it's like we know this, but we're getting suckered into it more and more and more. And I just want to caution all of us from trying to fulfill that deepest heart's yearning, from trying to fill that with people, places, and things. Because we are addicted now. The American society is addicted to the adrenaline high, the rush, the kapow. Everything's got to be bigger and faster and more gruesome, you know, and louder and more violent. And because the human condition is such that you get desensitized. So you need more and more of it to get the same sensation. And we're on an unsustainable course right now. We really need to check ourselves and get back to the basics where our fulfillment is an inside job, not an external chase after people, places, and things. Fulfillment ultimately comes when you feel connected to the divine, know who you are, and are okay with you. We chase after stuff because we're not okay with ourselves. And think once I get that, that'll let me feel okay about me.
Right.
That's not the real path to real fulfillment. That's neediness. That's longing. That's desire. That's not fulfillment.
I got a follow-up question to that, and I want you to, it's not so much of a question. I'm experiencing, and we've had a conversation around money, but I want to have a conversation. I want you to speak on money and fulfillment, and you know, more. I'm just experiencing more people talking about, I'm worried about money. I don't know if I can do it. Money's not coming in. I don't know how I'm going to survive. And it seems to me that, as you said, we are addicted. We are addicted to materialism and with the quick fix, the instant message, instant world, that sometimes, just like, I mean, the addiction is something that the logic goes out of the way, common sense is out of the way because people are just looking for their fix right now, right now. What would you – How would you reach somebody who is addicted to the rush of materialism and even believing that money is the fulfillment that they're looking for? And without that, that means their spiritual practice is not working. Because people say, well, yeah, I get the spiritual thing, but I still don't have any money.
I'd say to them, what do you really want? What do you think that you'll have once you get the money?
Mm.
Who do you think you'll be? What is all of this? What is this money really supposed to do for you? For you. Not just what it's going to provide, but what is it going to do for your person? You know, well, I'll feel safe. I'll feel secure. I won't be so anxious. I'll feel more at peace. I'll feel, you know, whatever. I won't feel like such a loser. I'll feel more successful. I won't feel invalidated. I won't feel dismissed. I won't feel so unequal. You know, all these things that they're trying not to feel. That's what's usually going to come up first. What they're trying not to feel.
Mm-hmm.
Not a true vision of real empowerment, but pain pushes until vision pulls. They're trying to run away from some kind of pain. And this money is going to make it all better.
Huh?
It's going to make it all better. And when you really sort of ask yourself, well, is that really the case? Is money really going to make me feel safe?
Mm-hmm.
Is that it? Because if that were true, then everybody with money would feel safe.
Right.
Everybody with money would feel secure.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. But we don't see that. And they say, so how do you reconcile that? How do you reconcile? Because those very same people will usually be the ones to tell you how greedy rich people are. You know, they never get enough and how uncaring. They're always wanting to step on somebody and blah, blah, blah. Okay, but according to your theory, if you had all that money, they'd be fulfilled.
Mm. I think ultimately what it boils down to is a willingness to be transformed, to have a different experience. Yeah.
It's a willingness to know who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
Because transform, yes, but not into something else, but back to who you are. We need to awaken. We need to remember. Remember to put it back together again. To remember, we are suffering from spiritual amnesia.
Mm-hmm.
The world is too much with us. It's says in Romans, be not conformed to this world or this age, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this transformation is going to take you back to the beginning. It's so important because we think that there's something wrong or there's something missing and we're trying to change and we're trying to get someplace and become something else. And then we don't know who that is. I'm not sure where to go. I'm not sure what to do. It isn't something else. It's us. And if we ever just gave ourselves permission, just permission, to say, you are good enough just the way you are. You are whole and you are complete just the way you are. God loves me just the way I am. God's not waiting for me to clean up my credit report. God's not waiting for me to get a divorce or to marry this person or to have this child or do this thing or that thing. God's not waiting for me to get that degree or move out of my mama's house. God's not waiting for any of that to love me, to care for me. God's not saying, you know, as soon as you get through hanging out with them gang members, I love you. As soon as you put that crack down, I'm going to love you. And that's part of fulfillment, is being able to accept and to embrace that love just where we are, just the way we are. See, the people who are having the problems with the money, their problem really isn't that they're having problems with the money. The problem is that we attach our self-worth and our self-value to the money. There's this little sleight of hand that we do. There's not enough. I don't have enough. I am not enough. There's not enough. I don't have enough. I don't have enough. And because I don't have enough, I am not enough. So the chase after money, a lot of times, really isn't so much actually the chase after money as it is self-worth, value, basic esteem, confidence.
Whoa. Yeah, you stepped on my toes. Not enough, I don't have enough, which translates to I'm not enough. I know I still worry about money, so woo! You just stepped all over my toes, but that's okay. You got my attention. Oh, yes.
So I need to have this money so I can feel good about myself. I need to have this money so I can change my opinion about myself. And without it, I don't give myself permission to really feel that. The money can't change your mind. You'll change your mind when you have the money. The money doesn't get in there and do anything to your mind. But we put a condition on there. I won't change my mind. I won't change the story about who I am until these conditions get met. But who puts these conditions there? God didn't do that. We made all that up when this happened, if that happened, not until this thing, after that thing, before this thing. We just make it up. We make all that up. And then beat ourselves up for not making our own timetables. And I was supposed to have this much money by the time I was 35, by the time I was 40. Oh, look at me, I'm 50, and I still don't have blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and we're beating ourselves up with that. When the truth of the matter is that if you have a roof over your head, a bed to sleep in, and the capacity to have three meals a day, you are better off than over 70% of people on the planet.
Simple truth. Powerful truth.
We worrying about how much we're not driving our cars. Sitting over dinner, pigging out. Talking about all we don't have. Getting on our cell phones and our computers. Talking about all we don't have. using all the privileged stuff that we do have to tell the story about what we don't have.
Exactly.
Let me blog about it. Let me tweet about it. And I'm not to say that there isn't some real poverty in the United States.
Right.
But for the most part, what we call poverty doesn't compare. Doesn't compare to what the rest of the world is facing. It's just a story, that's all, is my point. Is about how much we have or don't have is not about absolute dollars. It's a perception. And I have to go back to the foremothers and the forefathers, particularly the ones that were enslaved, whether here in the United States or someplace else. What gave them? What gave them the right to have dignity when they had nothing? The slaves in the United States weren't allowed to own a thing. Nothing. Not their bodies, not their children. Nothing. So how can you have nothing and still feel good about yourself and know who you are? have a sense of fulfillment with nothing. And I'm not posing that as just a rhetorical question. One of the things I think we've gotten away from is the idea of the wisdom of our ancestors. We're always starting from where we are, like life just started with us. But what did they know? What do they know? When I do one of those Awakening the Dreamer symposiums, there's all kinds of exercises and things that I've created. And one of them that I love is putting people in these lines and having them speak to their ancestors. Like, everybody came from an indigenous ancestry at some point in time. Mm-hmm. And just in their minds, and I have people act this out, like, go back. What did the most indigenous ancestors know about our relationship with the planet, about our connection to each other? Like, what do they want us to remember through this whole meditation? If they could speak to us today, what would they want us to remember? You know, what would 15 generations in the future want us to know or do today? Because we're somebody's ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is that legacy that we want to live? What do we want people to know? Your great, 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 great grandchildren. What are we leaving them in consciousness? There's a little children's song that I like, and it just keeps repeating these words. We are the answer, we are the answer, we are the answer to our ancestors' prayers.
We've got a caller who's got a great question, and you've tuned in already to the question. But we're gonna take a break, right? We can take the break, and
okay, yes.
then come back to that question, because I want to hear your answer. I want to hear Gladys's question. Ooh, I'm dying to hear the answer. Go ahead, Gladys.
Yes, so you still have time to jump into this conversation. The call-in number is 347-426-3346. Don't forget to press 1 on your keypad. You're listening to Living in a Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. We'll be right back right after these brief messages.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Ready to live in the yes? Join me, Rev D, the Reverend Dr. Deborah Johnson, here Tuesday evenings, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific. Call in with your questions and comments as together we explore spiritual qualities and learn practical tools that unleash our spiritual power. We mix in some music, spoken word, readings, prophetic utterances. You want in on this? Living in the Yes, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Light Conversations Radio.
Just
Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today for Ancestral Blueprints at 12 p.m. Eastern on the last Wednesday of the month. Learn how the unacknowledged truths in your ancestral blueprints may still be influencing your life today, and how to bring awareness to the truths that want to be acknowledged. Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today, 12 p.m. Eastern, every last Wednesday of the month on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
Are you ready to come out to play? To passionately love and appreciate who you are? Join me, Mombasa Sophia, on the playground of life, the play experience, every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, where we always serve a raw, delicious smorgasbord of healing the mind, the heart, and the soul into this spectacular circle of life. Are you ready? See you on the playground. Be there or be square. The Play Experience, 7 p.m. each Thursday, here on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
I'm Celeste Morgan, host of The Celestial Show, and I want to invite each and every one of you to join me on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern to receive divine messages through tarot, numbers, and my intuition. Break out to the other side with laughter and information you can use to get the life you truly want to live. Remember, that's every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern on LifeConversationsRadio.com. I'll see you there.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Welcome back to Living in Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. We have a caller who would like to join the conversation. Welcome, Gladys. Say hello to Rev D.
It's a pleasure to be able to ask you this question, Reverend Johnson.
Hello, Gladys. Where are you calling from?
I'm in New Jersey.
Okay, very good.
I understand everything that you said very well. I've been to your website. I've been to Interlight's website and everything. But read the affirmations, everything. But the one problem that I'm having, well, one of the problems that I'm having is this. The conversation surrounding money. Money is a concrete thing that one uses to pay bills. So metaphorically, I can understand everything that you're saying. And then it's time to pay a bill. How do these two things go together? Because I'm not manifesting this money. I'm understanding that everything that you said, you've answered many questions that I had, but I'm still chasing that the money that I need to keep the phone on. Where am I going wrong?
Are you abundant?
What does that mean?
Are you abundant?
I can't answer the question until you give me a definition of what that means, please.
What does abundance mean to you?
Abundance is the having of many things. I have things, but none of my things will pay the bills because I don't have green stuff.
Okay. Here's the thing. I understand exactly what it is that you're saying, but I want to go back to this very principle that I'm talking about, because when we feel like we are one with the quality.
What quality?
The spiritual quality. Abundance is not just a material manifestation. Abundance is a state of mind.
I cannot keep the phone on.
Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. Okay? I realize that you need money. I'm not saying that we don't need money. What I am saying is that the money flows out of a sense of one being abundant. If you take, you know, I'm sure you know somebody in your neighborhood, somebody that you grew up with, that really didn't have a lot of money at all, but somehow or another, they always managed to feed one more person at the table. They always somehow managed to have a little bit of something to give somebody or to take somebody else in, even when their house was already packed with folks. Do you know what I mean?
That's me, but the phone is still off. So that person that always has a little bit more that can take people in, I'm feeding 15 cats twice a day now, but I can't feed myself. That's me, but still don't have that tangible dollars. And the other thing, because now you've touched on this other thing that just draws right in here. I know that I'm supposed to be able to hold a feeling, if you will, that of abundance that I have, and that's going to draw it to me. And it would be really good if I could remember a time when I felt that everything was all right, or remember a time when I was happy, but I don't have those times to remember. So I have nothing to draw on to hold that vibration, if you will. I just have the one that I've always held on to, limitation and lack.
Right. And I want to thank you for the question, and I want to thank you for putting it there so succinctly.
You did that.
And what I'm saying here is that answer to having the money is being able to create that feeling tone within yourself, where the idea of money or being happy or whatnot doesn't feel foreign. I'm not saying that you had to have experienced it before,
okay,
like in this lifetime.
Right.
But what I am saying is that the real you isn't poor. That the real you, that there is a you beyond the bills being not paid. There's a you beyond all the stuff that you've gone through. There's a real you that is not defined by what you have had or have not had. There's a real you that's bigger than all of that.
Okay, so if I hold on to that feeling, is the money going to come? Because I still need to pay that phone bill.
If you start to move in that direction, if there is a part of you, now as crazy as this is going to sound, if there is a part of you that will start actually giving thanks, if there's a part of you that will wake up in the morning and saying, thank you, God, for all needs met, because I know in you all things are possible. Thank you for paying my bills. Thank you for a roof over my head. Thank you for a phone. Like, thank you for all of this stuff. If you start getting in that groove, something starts to open up. Something starts to shift. When we are worried, and I'm not judging you. I'm not saying this is anything about you. I'm just saying that this is how it works. Most of us at this point where we say, I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I see it. But if we start to believe it, then we will see it.
All right.
You know, if I'm a battered woman and all I know is getting my butt whipped, my daddy beat me, my mama beat me, my brothers and sisters, my uncles raped me, that's all I know. Okay? Then, of course, I get into an abusive relationship.
Mm-hmm.
2, 3, 4 of those, and I'm still getting beat up.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I don't know anything else. That's all I've ever known in this life.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Part of me, there's a child of God in me that deserves better and wants better.
Mm-hmm.
And God's not going to condemn me to my past experience. God's not going to say, well, you know, you never did have a safe home, so what makes you think I'm going to give you one? God's not going to say, well, you know, that's all you've ever known. Yes, that's all you've ever known. And come here, my child. Come here, my child. You deserve better than that. So it's that piece of, that's what I'm talking about, that piece of us that goes not just angry because we don't have it, but that's something inside that says, I actually deserve better than this. That I actually deserve to have my needs met.
I do.
I know you do.
I can do that. I do.
I know you do. And take it the next step. Take it the next step and start giving thanks for it.
All
that
right.
May sound crazy, but that'll shift everything.
No.
Thank
right.
you, God. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know how it's going to happen. But thank you, God, for looking out after me. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you. Because I don't know. I don't know, God. I don't know where all this is going to come from. I don't know. But I'm trusting you. And if there's any part of you that's willing to go there, I promise you, things will start coming your way.
I believe you. I believe you.
And I mean that.
I do too.
You know, you'll have what you need. If it's access to a phone you need, you will have that. If you need a roof and someplace to stay, you will have that.
Is it possible to have abundance without having cash?
Good question.
You just hit it.
Great question.
You just hit it. Where the feeling of the abundance comes whether or not you have the cash. It's like feeling love. Where you can still feel love, still feel like you are loved, whether there are people around you or not, whether you're in a relationship or not. Yes. You hit it on the head right there. Look in the mirror and you say to yourself, I am abundant. I am abundant. I am. I am. There's always more of me. There's always more of me. There's always more love that can come out of me. I'm abundant. There's always more forgiveness that can come out of me because I am abundance. There's always more truth that can come out of my lips because I am abundant, always generating more. More conversation, more dreams, more hopes, more desires, more caring. I'm a place of more. Good.
Thank you.
I thank you for the question. I
mm-hmm.
really do, and for making it so real.
Thank you, Gladys. Oh, my God.
Thank
what
you.
A gift. What a gift. Thank you. When she said, can you be abundant without the cash, I was like, oh, what a gift, Gladys, that you gave us. Thank you, thank you, thank you, because there are people who feel that won't speak it up, but you brought the realness, and you arrived home because you were willing to speak your truth, so you get to connect with the spiritual truth. Woo, Lord. We have a question about fulfillment, which is another good question, and you know it all links into. I've got goosebumps from just your conversation with Gladys. Oh, Gladys, thank you so much. Thank you for that gift. Go ahead, Celeste.
Yeah, just real quick. Thank you, Gladys, because you know sometimes you know we in the spiritual community want to make it pretty. Real nice and pretty, and I really appreciate you breaking it down, and I'm looking forward to being oh so brave in my questions in the future as well. Okay, the question about fulfillment, and I'm so serious about that. A soul connection in a chat room wanted to know, they wondered if fulfillment is a feeling that comes and goes. That is, sometimes all of us feel fulfilled, then the feeling goes away, then it comes back again. It is like waves in the ocean that come and go on a beach. And wanted to get your reflection about that, Revdi.
I would say they're really close.
Okay.
It isn't that the fulfillment comes and goes. Our awareness of it comes and goes. Always there. There's nothing wrong with us. Our essence is perfect, whole, and complete. Sometimes we remember it and sometimes we don't. It's kind of like all the spiritual qualities. Grace doesn't come and go. Just sometimes we see it and accept it, and sometimes we don't. Forgiveness doesn't come and go. Love doesn't come and go. Peace doesn't come and go. Joy doesn't come and go. We come and go with it. We're the ones moving. This is so important. This is, I speak about this sometimes. About this shift that has to happen. It's a Copernican moment. You know, Copernicus was the one who helped us to see that the Earth was not the center of the universe. People thought that the Earth was the center of the universe and that the Sun was revolving around the Earth. Okay? And it was a real humbling mind blower. To find out it's the other way around, that the sun is the center of our solar system, and that the Earth, that we're the ones moving around, that when it's dark or night, it's not because the sun went anywhere, it's because we moved. Now, it's a pretty optical illusion. sunrise and sunset. Looks like the sun went up. Looks like the sun went down. I'm a couple blocks from the Pacific Ocean. Well, it's real pretty. I don't like nothing I like better than to go out there and watch the sun set over the Pacific Ocean. I moved. The earth moved. And if we begin to see this, that it's the same way with God. It's not that God is going anywhere. When we're in our dark spot, it's because we spun away. I remember I had the extraordinary opportunity of taking a trip to Europe with my parents when I was 14. And we took this nonstop flight from Rome to Los Angeles. And it was something like 14, 16 hours flying into perpetual sunrise. It was almost, we just kept going back in time. Just perpetual sunrise. And I remember how much I really got it in that moment up in the air. The sun's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We're the ones moving around. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's just a shadow. It's just a shadow, and there's only one way you can see your shadow. It's if your back is to the light. Turn around. Turn around. And the shadows appear to loom larger than the object. The object can be 6 inches tall and cast a shadow 6 feet. We have to realize God's not coming and going and moving in and around us and our problems. God is not the variable in the equation of life. We make our problems the constant and God the variable. No. God is the constant. God is the constant. And our other stuff are the variables. Do I get afraid? Of course I get afraid. I'm up against some horrendous financial stuff now. I don't know too many people who aren't. But what I know enough now to know, though, is that it's not who I am. It's not who I am. Do I feel better when, you know, the ministry's booming and there's more money in my pocket? Of course. You know, I get a little bit more pep in my step and all the rest of that. But what's not as strong anymore is to feel like I'm worthless or nothing. Bank account isn't what I would like it to be. I may be disappointed. I may be frustrated. I might be a whole bunch of things. But I'm less likely now to attach the value of my personhood to my checking account. Ask the ancestors. How did they know they were somebody when they had no money? How did they have the graciousness to be loving and caring and strong? You know? You just look at the music, the legacy of the music alone. Deep, rich stuff. if you put all your meaning in the material, you're like the foolish man that builds his house upon the sand. The famous parable in Scripture at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is quoted as saying, "He who hears these words and does something with them is likened to the wise man who builds his house upon the rock. And when, not if, when the winds and the rains come, the house still stands. He who hears these words and doesn't do anything with them is likened to the foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. And when, not if, when the winds and the rain comes, great is the fall of the house." This isn't just a construction lesson. You know, your house is you.
Mm.
It's you. There's nothing about being spiritual that says you get to be exempt from the wind and the rain. Everybody is subjected to the same stuff. The difference is that if you build your house upon the rock, something true, something everlasting, nothing as temporal, as transitory as the passing and the going of money. That's been the whole conversation we're saying. It comes and it goes. So what kind of rock is that? Why are you going to build your house upon something that's coming or going? The promise that we were given is that our house would still stand. That no matter what the adversities, no matter what the conditions, no matter what the circumstances, that our beingness was resilient. Something within us could always overcome. When we don't know that, then when the stuff around us falls, we fall too. We fall with it. Like the rug got pulled under our feet. It's okay. It's okay to want money. There's nothing bad about money. Let's just not make a god out of it. We make a god out of anything that we allow to define us, our worth, our value, our possibility. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Don't make a god out of stuff. Everybody breathe. Let God be your God. Because let me tell you, nobody does it better.
And nobody hosts the show better like Rev D. I couldn't resist. I couldn't resist. Yes.
Tuesday nights are not the same, and I'm so grateful. Thank you, Rev D.
My pleasure.
Next week, you're bringing in grace. You're talking about grace next week. So excited about that conversation. Because I'm sure I'm going to hear something that I haven't thought of in the way
Me
that
too.
You're going to break it down.
Me too. I can't wait to see what Spirit has to say to all of us.
No, that's right.
I know that's right. It's close to the time. Well, actually, we're keeping you past time. So we just want to thank all of our listeners, our caller, Gladys, Soul Connection, for your questions. For those of you who are listening on the archives, just tap in again and enjoy it. Make sure you join us next week, Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, for more Living in the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. We're going to release this powerful show tonight with More Than Enough by Troy Horn. And you can find his music at troyhorn.com. We love you, family. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night, Reverend D.
Good night.
Good night.
What if your time on the planet was ending today? If you had one thing to tell others, tell me what would you say? Would you laugh, would you cry when you watched the view of your life? Did you lay it all out on the table or hold it inside? Did you dot every T? Did you cross every I? Did you live every day of your life? Would you think you were right? Would you think you were right when you thought about the way that you felt when love touched your heart for the first time? Would you want to do over with a little more stuff? Or would another 5 minutes to tell her you love her be more than enough? More than enough. Was a heartbeat away? Would you still never speak to a lover for making mistakes? Would you hate anybody who didn't agree? Or would you love everyone that you see? Would you think you were well? Would you think you were right when you thought about the way that you felt when love touched your heart for the first time? Would you want, with a little more stuff, or would another 5 minutes of holding him closer be more than enough? More than enough. Very little happenstance till you look behind and find in each and every line love was on time. Hey, hey, hey. So many people sleep walk through the day after day. Mid-stride, thinking how did this happen to me? I opened my heart and wiped the sleep from my eyes. I started laughing so hard that I cried, 'cause I found I was wealthy and I found I'd arrived. When I thought about the way that I felt when love touched my heart for the first time, I didn't need a do-over with a little more stuff, 'cause I found that each time I could tell them I loved them was more than enough.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.